Welcome to Whiskey Cast, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and I'm sure that from time to time, we've all dreamed about how great it would be to have our own distillery and make our own whiskey. In a few minutes, we'll hear from one man who did just that, and now he's living his dream. But first, let's look at the news and a few upcoming events. Bidding is now open for one of two special bottles of Speyside Scotch. Whiskey magazine editors collected vintage samples from many of Speyside's distilleries during a walkathon last summer and turned them over to master blender Richard Patterson of White & McKay. The result, two special bottles of whiskey that will be auctioned off to raise money for Make Poverty History. Here's Whiskey magazine editor Dominic Rosgrove.
I'd be delighted if we took in a region, if we could get a couple of $1,000 for the two. That would, we raised $7,500 for the cause last year. So another couple of $1,000 now, and then with the Isle of Man back to back, I'd be delighted with that. It's just, it's nice to, I think it's just nice that this is a, you know, we hear about people spending lots and lots of money on whiskey, and this is a nice way of taking that sort of affluence and putting it back into the other end for people who are not so well off. So it's a, I'm hoping we'll have a generous benefactor who'll see the benefits to him that will be prepared to pay because he knows it's for a cause.
I have to ask, have you nosed or tasted this?
I haven't, actually. It's a very good question. Do you know, I haven't even seen it. The whiskey was, we collected the whiskey through Speyside, but when Richard Patterson got his hands on it, in the summer last year, he rang me up and he said, Dominic, to put together a balanced whiskey, a really good quality drinking whiskey, I'm going to have to add some more whiskey to this. So I've got some other 20-year-old Speyside whiskeys that you didn't collect. Can I add them in? So he did that, and the results were then put into a bottle and sealed, and every drop of it has gone into these two bottles. And so maybe a bit stupidly, I didn't ask for a sample, so I have no idea. But I trust Richard, and I do think it's a drinking whiskey. You know, sometimes with these old whiskies, collectors buy, you know, 30, 40-year-old whiskey. You really don't want to drink it. You buy it because it's valuable. But this, I think you could do either. You could keep it as a souvenir forever, or you could taste it. And I think, actually, what you should have done is perhaps done what some companies do and put a small sample in a tasting bottle so whoever buys it doesn't have to open it either, but can taste it. And if we do the Isla one, I think that's a tactic we'll introduce.
The remaining bottle will be auctioned off at Whiskey Live New York on April 5th. By the way, issue 53 of Whiskey Magazine is in the mail now. We'll have more on that with Dominic in the next episode. Burns Night is coming up this week, and the guys at Brooklotti have something special planned. They've been growing a special strain of barley that dates back 3,000 years. It's the original Barr that was brought to Scotland by the Vikings in the 9th century. Barr hasn't been used in whiskey production since 1760 or so, but the team at Brooklotti was able to grow about 11 tons of it over the past few months. They'll be distilling it on Burns Night, and you can watch via the webcams on the Brooklotti website, starting at 1600 hours GMT Wednesday. The whiskey will go on sale 10 years from now. Pernod Ricard has juggled its corporate structure in the wake of the Allied Domecq takeover. Now the company's entire Scotch portfolio will be merged into the company's Chivas division, with Christian Porta as the CEO. The division will also have responsibility for Beefeater Gin. It'll be a big week in Glasgow. The Festival of Whiskey will last all week long, with events at a number of the city's pubs and restaurants. Other events coming up in the next few weeks. In Berlin, Club Viva Nova will host a single malt tasting on Burns Night at the Grand Hyatt Berlin. John Hansel of Malt Advocate will lead a single malt tasting January 30th at DBA Bar in New York City. The first weekend of February will see the Munich Whiskey Festival in Munich and the Lindoris Whiskey Society's Whiskey Fest 2006 in Ostende, Belgium. John Hansel has another single malt tasting at Monk's Cafe in Philadelphia on February 7th. Whiskey Live Tokyo is February 12th. And the weekend of February 24th features the International Malt Whiskey Festival in Brussels. Links to all of these events are posted at WhiskeyCast.com, along with a full schedule of events through May. There are a lot of great stories about whiskey makers, and that's one of the reasons for doing Whiskey Cast. For instance, let's take the story of an attorney in Lexington, Kentucky, with the heart of a distiller.
I had jobs in high school, and one of them I fell in love with down at the big Burnham distillery, and he was so delighted that I would interest, as a teenager, that I was interested in getting up and going to work, that he was very encouraging for a while. He said, well, Tom, that's great, and we got a little family recipe here, and a tradition, as you know, in the distilling business. And then when I graduated from high school, I said, well, this is what I want to do. I want to go into the distilling business. He said, Tom, you're going to be a lawyer. And I said, well, okay. So I am a lawyer. He was a wonderful man, a great hero in my life. He had lost his right eye in the Battle of the Bulge and suffered horrifically from those wounds all of his life. But he was the biggest man I ever knew by a lot. Wonderful man. So in 1987, I went back to Dad. I said, Dad, I really like to do that. His rant at that point was, well, that's between you and your banker now, Tom. So I went to the bank and borrowed some money and went into the distilling business.
That's Tom Bullitt, the man behind Bullitt Frontier Bourbon Whiskey. His great-great-grandfather, Augustus Bullitt, arrived in Louisville from New Orleans in 1830 and started making whiskey.
This is Augustus's recipe. I'm kind of going off on a diverging here. I hope is that okay?
Oh, of course. Go right ahead.
I'm kind of rambling. I don't get to the point, but sometimes the point's not as interesting as getting there. This is Augustus's recipe. It was not a complex recipe handed down by an oral tradition in our family. Well, the family's immediate and extended family has been in the whiskey business for years and years. My uncle Sam was a master distiller, and on the other side, the Willett family that we've married into in Bardstown has a bunch of different whiskeys over the years, and then I grew up working in the distilleries. So it's sort of a tradition here in Kentucky. I guess if you live in Montana, you have a water rights tradition big time. Riparian rights in the West, but in Kentucky it's about whiskey and horses, and so we had an oral tradition of our great great grandfather, my great great grandfather Tucker's times three, and Tucker's my son's nickname, and so it was his recipe, which was very very simple, as you would expect: 2/3 corn, 1/3 rye, which is about what it is now. We've been able to recreate that recipe very close to that. Of course, now it's made up of rye, barley malt, and corn, in about those proportions.
That higher rye content gives Bullitt a more intense flavor. It's won several awards, including a gold medal at the 2004 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. In his 2005 Whiskey Bible, Jim Murray rates it an 88 and calls it absolutely excellent from first to last, an essay in balance and control.
I guess if there are three unique things that create the style of Bullitt, or three things that create the style of Bullitt bourbon, the high rye recipe that we talked about. Good age, 6 to 8 years. We barrel the bourbon when it's mature, not at any particular age point, but none of it's under 6 years. And the absence of phenol alcohols. We're very careful to keep the phenol alcohols out. Just take part of the still. Of course, you know the Scotch people call it taking the heart of the whiskey and wasting the heads of the tails. We do that most noticeably for you know, phenol whiskey, phenol. The phenol influence is most noticeable in Jack Daniels, which is not good or bad. That's their style of whiskey. Ours is not. We take that out, and those tend to be the warmer whiskeys. So it will be much lighter in the throat using the ethyl alcohols. Those three things, the rye and good age and the absence of phenol alcohol, really define what Bullitt is.
Augustus Bullitt disappeared in 1860. According to Tom, there are two versions of the story. The Bullitt women say he was murdered by someone while hauling whiskey back to New Orleans. The Bullitt men say he made it to New Orleans, liked it better than Louisville, and decided to stay. By the way, there are a few Bullitts in the New Orleans area.
I think he would like it. It tends to be his recipe. He would find it different in that it would be a much more mature and a much more sophisticated distillate and product. Their whiskeys would have been pretty tough back then. You know, they would have benefited by the trip to New Orleans, but if drank quickly at the tavern, would have been pretty high, I suspect.
Is your son going into the business?
Well, Tucker's 13, and that's always, you know, that's a classic father's dilemma. Our family has always been very big on education. That's, Tom, you're going to be a lawyer, as I said earlier. And when he finishes college and graduate school, we'll see.
If you're traveling to Kentucky, don't look for the Bullet Distillery. It's actually made at the Four Roses Distillery in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. By the way, Tom says he's winning his battle with colon cancer, and we wish him all the best in his recovery. To close things off, let's have a bit of fun now. You'll recall my battles with pronunciation in the last few episodes. Jim is a dedicated WhiskeyCast listener in Scotland and thought he'd teach me a lesson.
Glasgow.
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 No, Glasgow.
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 Go. Glasgow. Glasgow.
Edinburgh.
Oh, I give up.
Okay, it's Glasgow and Edinburgh. Thanks, Jim. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com if you'd like to share your thoughts with us. That's all for this edition of WhiskeyCast. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.